Part 1. The Realities of Work and Life Today. The demands of work and life today are much different than they were even 10 or 20 years ago. Today, many of us feel burned out, busy, and trapped. Sometimes, we're not sure if we can keep up the current pace for another year, let alone another 10, 20, or 30 years, and we are often not even sure we're headed in the right direction. For many of us, especially those of us who are professionals and business owners, the world seems to have changed around us. We have been participants in many of the changes in technology, mobile access, and social media. We're now connected virtually all the time from virtually anywhere on any of our devices. Even if we have not yet participated, most of us are at least aware of the major societal shifts towards wanting greater meaning and purpose and wanting our lives to matter more. The problem for many of us is not the change. These changes have the power to make our lives easier, allow us to be better connected, and provide us a larger platform to make our mark and have impact. The problem for many of us is that we have not had the time nor the perspective to process these changes and then leverage them for our benefit. We have been too busy building our careers and businesses and raising our families. Compounding the changes around us is the fact that many of us have also changed. Many of us have shifted into new work and life seasons, and some of us may not have even realized it. Our interests, goals, and passions change with our seasons. When we are operating out of sync with our season, the feelings of burnout, busyness, and being trapped are often magnified. If we're going to solve the problem of chronic burnout, busyness, and feeling trapped, we need both focus and commitment. We need these because those feelings of burnout, busyness, and being trapped are not even the real problems. Although problematic, they are only symptoms. The actual problems are much deeper, and they transcend conventional work and life boundaries and status quo management structures. Perspectives from experience. For over 20 years, I have been a near rabid consumer of personal success and leadership development materials. Before podcasts, weekly blogs, and access through social media, I was devouring available books and books on tape. Early in my career, these books and tapes were very encouraging and provided answers that helped me achieve the success I was striving for. When I was first dealing with burnout and realizing that I was also going through a major life transformation, I had a much harder time finding answers. In order to find the answers I wanted and needed, I had to pull from many different sources. I also needed to intentionally spend time processing how these pieces from various sources fit together in the context of my career and my experiences. It was a very iterative process. Once I found information and processed it, I realized more was needed and the cycle repeated. This process continued for a number of years. As an engineer, my interests and training has been geared towards problem solving. I was about results. I was about practical applications. I didn't seek a research grant. I sought answers for my life. And I wanted those answers as fast as possible so I could put them into practice. My first order of business was to define and understand the problems that needed to be solved, an ingrained engineering approach. Understanding these problems was not simply about understanding how they manifest in symptoms, but in their underlying causes. This first section of the book brings to light the problems that underlie the symptoms of burnout, busyness, and feelings of being trapped that we are experiencing today. Later sections will outline what top employees are looking for today and present a blueprint for helping both individuals and organizations grow and prosper by addressing and solving the causes. The Realities of Work and Life Today. Chapter 1. Burnout and Disengagement. Busy. Hustling. Overcommitted. Overconnected. Exhausted. No real end in sight. It's the feeling many of us share. Not only is there always one more project to complete, one more proposal to write, one more report to submit or a dozen or more emails to read, there's always one more quarter or 100-day plan to show results and one more year to finish up strong. That project, quarter, and year suddenly turns into a decade of work busy before we know it. On top of this work busy, we're also often life busy. Feeling burnout is a process that can be the result of a singular or combination of work and life stresses. This chapter walks through the causes and mechanics of burnout and disengagement today. Commitment, ownership, and excellence. Achieving goals we desire can energize, motivate, and inspire us to accomplish great things, things that most others don't or won't do, and things that we may not have previously thought possible. Commitment to those goals we desire helps build our character and self-esteem. It is commitment to goals that do not line up with our present needs or our desired future that can contribute to burnout. Commitment is vital to establishing ourselves as successful professionals and business owners. All we've needed to do to achieve our goals is embedded in our story and helps define who we are today. Whatever motivated us to become a professional or a business owner, the challenge, the paycheck, the standing in society, or the expectations of others, a full commitment was necessary. And wherever we are right now in our careers, we need to begin our understanding of present-day burnout and disengagement with the realization that our commitment to our career started long before our first day on the job. And for some of us, our commitment dates back to high school. Early on, we needed to take ownership to target a direction for our lives and focus our time to realize our future. We needed to select a school and a major. We needed to get through 8 a.m. classes and a more challenging curriculum than many of our friends. We needed to secure and succeed in internships and residencies. And we needed to pass all-day tests or licensures or certifications. At some point, however, many of us lost some ownership in the details and direction in our lives. For many of us, we also desired to make a difference and contribute to the greater good. We wanted to find that thing or things unique to us with which we can excel. In addition to allowing us to provide value, we knew that those things would also help us feel valued, appreciated, and connected with others. This can be as basic as being a good mom, dad, coach, or friend. However, our desire to contribute doesn't always stop at good. Most of us are more ambitious and we want to excel, be great, and even be world-class on both personal and professional levels. When we began our careers, we entered a new season. We needed to confirm our career choice as we committed to the goals of our new employers. Individually, our commitment was most likely to excel and have impact in our chosen field, to create things and access for those in engineering, to provide means and opportunities for those in sales, marketing, accounting, finance, and education, to produce processes and justice for those in law, and to advance health and wellness for those in medicine, just to name a few. For virtually all professions, excelling and achieving standing and having success requires us to be all in for an extended period, often 10, 20, even 30 years. This may be exactly what it takes to master our craft, make a name, and build our platform. Success as a professional is as much or more about applied knowledge than it is information alone. We need to make judgments. We need to operate in the gray areas. To get to this point, we need to gain both experience and understanding. There is no other way to do this than to spend the appropriate amount of time in our craft to learn, do, fail, seek more opportunities, and repeat. The more time and the more focus, the more growth, and the quicker the path to success. There is so much to learn on the job, especially in the early years, and your commitment to do so can be consuming. This can be consuming in a positive and productive way, but this can also work against us. Over time, our commitment to our careers through our craft can cause us to lose touch with ourselves and others, lose track of our accomplishments, and lose clarity of where things may be heading. We want our doctors, lawyers, engineers, financial gurus, nurses, and teachers to at least excel, if not be great or world-class. If not, we are disappointed. And we expect them to be clear and focused on serving us as our clients, customers, and patients expect us to be serving them. This is why professionals have prominent standing in communities. Having this prominence and being able to positively contribute in these chosen fields is often part of what drove our commitment to excel or become great or world-class in the first place. Achieving this standing took ownership to leverage our time, interests, and passions, and commitment to persevere. For many of us, this helped build our self-esteem and confidence. It was not our commitment to learning and mastering our craft where the seeds of burnout and disengagement were planted. Those seeds were planted elsewhere. In fact, the opposite is true. Being able to continually grow and excel can actually help to reverse burnout and re-engage. Yes, it takes commitment to become both a successful professional and business owner. Yes, it takes commitment to learn to excel, be great, or be world-class. And yes, most professionals and business owners carry heavy workloads. However, unless there are intervening factors, commitment to excellence itself will not result in burnout. If we are feeling burned out, we need to take ownership to preserve our investments to date. We can't let intervening factors control us. And as leaders, we can't let intervening factors cause burnout of employees, especially those who we consider top talent who drive our success. We need to clear paths to allow for their commitment and ability to excel. Initially, however, we may need to take action to clear a path for ourselves. Perspectives from experience. I was motivated to succeed during the early portion of my career. I wanted to learn how to solve problems, design solutions, and learn to lead. I wanted to excel. The initial checkmark of becoming a professional engineer was replaced with becoming a lead project engineer. That was then eclipsed by becoming a project manager, followed by a team leader. Within 7 years, I was an owner. Initially a junior shareholder, yes, but still an owner. Next step, vice president, major owner, and member of the board of directors. Check, check, and check. All three within 3 years at age 32. I was committed. I had worked very hard. I routinely did things that others were not willing to do in order to excel, and I didn't confuse effort with results. Through those early year efforts, I achieved a position and a level of financial reward that made me feel good, made me feel confident. It was about a year later that I began to feel a change. It was an inkling at first that my career focus was beginning to take a toll, that things were out of balance, and that my commitments and energies were not aligned with what I ultimately wanted and needed. My commitment, ownership, and drive for excellence were my assets at work, but burnout and disengagement began to slowly erode them. The burnout disengagement cycle. When every season is a harvest season, when expectations for results only escalate, when your all is always being asked for, burnout is a real possibility. How much can we really take, especially when it seems to be continuously expected? The standard seems to have shifted. The norm is not normal or sustainable. Trying to sustain an unsustainable pace for too long can lead to burnout. Merriam-Webster defines burnout as exhaustion of physical or emotional strength or motivation, usually as a result of prolonged stress or frustration. This definition doesn't seem as extreme a diagnosis as it once did. Unfortunately, it probably describes the state of most of us today. Burnout has been on the increase and quickly moving beyond becoming a major threat to becoming an epidemic, not just to individuals experiencing it, but also to organizations that employ them. Even entire industries can be victims of burnout when some of their primary occupations are routinely associated with high burnout rates, including those of physicians, nurses, educators, attorneys, and finance, including accountants. A recent study found 95% of human resource leaders across a variety of industries admit employee burnout is sabotaging workplace retention. Stress in the workplace is a reality of life for most professionals, those who are highly skilled and perform important functions for society at large. The professional workplace has standards, practices, and procedures that must be followed. There are also times when problem-solving, creativity, and guts may need to be skillfully applied in order to produce the results that we are expected and even obligated to produce. It is part of the reason there are relatively few of us, and why we can earn a good living that entails more than salary. Although stress can be a routine part of the nature of our jobs, it becomes problematic if the work environment is not managed well. Today, professionals are working harder than ever. This can lead to periods of prolonged stress. The source of the stress may not be the work itself, as we are trained and skilled in the work, and performing it can actually give us the energy, focus, and stamina necessary to achieve results. Instead, the source of problematic stress is often the workload, workflow, and work environment. Workloads have increased for virtually all professionals across the board. Maybe the increase is due to disruptive forces in our industry. Maybe commoditization trends reduce our billings. Maybe it's the escalating costs necessary to attract employees into our organizations and to retain our talent. Maybe it's leaders who have lost touch with the realities of work and life today. The net result is increased pressure to do more with less. The problem for many of us is that having to do more with less has become more of a constant, not a temporary situation. An easy answer is to hire additional staff, develop the full capabilities of the teams throughout the organization, and optimize the workload and workflow. However, this answer is often merely a dream. The urgent realities of business today are consuming. The problem organizationally is that constant response to the urgent too often prohibits addressing the important. Creating systems and a culture that can better manage workloads and its related stress is critical. The work environment is also problematic today. We are often required to multitask and routinely have fragmented days filled with meetings and email. This leads to stress and even reduced efficiency. What is critical to professional and entrepreneurial performance and reduced workplace stress, and what we've lost in the busy work environment today, is time to concentrate, contemplate, plan, or even decompress after an important or stressful work event. The drive now for even more teamwork and collaboration in the workplace, if not managed well, can actually worsen the work environment for professionals who need routine time for concentration, contemplation, planning, and decompression in order to perform productively and effectively at a high level. If workloads and the work environment are not managed well, the prolonged overload we encounter leads to overwhelm. Overwhelm can be masked for a while. Being overloaded can feel different day to day, project to project, account to account, case to case, patient to patient, new position to new position. But it is persistent and oppressive. Over time, overload turns into overwhelm. It is when overwhelm sets in that we begin to experience the physical, mental, and emotional exhaustion that leads to burnout. Under these conditions, disengagement at work also comes into play. Disengagement is a reaction to protect ourselves, our attempt to separate us from the source of our stress and overwhelm. Merriam-Webster defines disengagement as to release or detach oneself, withdraw. If you're more of a visual learner, you can download the infographics used in the book by going to www.reversingburnoutbook.com/infographics. The most recent Gallup State of the American Workplace report concluded that 67% of U.S. employees were not engaged at work. That is 2 out of every 3 employees. whereas 51% were characterized as not engaged, 16% were characterized as actively disengaged. Burnout and disengagement don't happen overnight. They can take years to take root. Burnout and the isolating nature of disengagement can also form a cycle. In this way, burnout and disengagement often reinforce each other. The net result is typically a downward spiral. For the individual, this negative looping disintegrates towards a pivot away from a team, division, organization, or even an industry. Pivoting away can become the only way to break the cycle to either cope with the realities of the situation or to proactively change our environment. For the teams, divisions, organizations, and industries impacted, this downward spiral and pivot is never beneficial. Highly skilled and once motivated employees and even leaders pivot away. The cost to replace them and the cost of the loss of their future productivity can be enormous, up to or greater than twice the salary of a senior or highly trained employee. In addition, deadlines are often missed, workloads on others further increase, and clients, patients, and future referrals can be lost or poached. But wait, there's more. A person stuck in the burnout disengagement cycle can either directly or indirectly negatively impact others and degrade your overall culture along the way. Whether they leave due to their choice to pivot or remain in the cycle, the result for the organization is never positive. Even when the leaders aspire and work toward achieving the dream of hiring the necessary number of employees with the right skills and developing them to optimize workload and workflow, the reality for much of professional services is inconsistent staffing. Even in the most proactive and effectively led organizations, there are bound to be periods of time with back-to-back critical deadlines, the need to string a couple of good quarters together, or get through the year successfully with less than the ideal number and composition of staff. To survive these seasons of overload, leaders need to rely on the organization's mission, reward systems, and the intrinsic motivations and goodwill of employees. A reality that we face today, whether due to overload or just our overall busyness, is that we lose track of things. We lose touch. We lose clarity of where we stand and how or if what we are doing fits into the big picture. This can often manifest itself in a loss of efficacy, feeling like we no longer have the power to produce an effect or that our efforts aren't really making a difference. As leaders, we often stop talking about our organization's mission and vision and the future. Continual communication about our mission and vision and what the future could hold is essential for keeping busy talent on track and inspired. Organizationally, we also need to connect where the rubber hits the road. Disconnection can occur if we have outdated, ineffective, or counterproductive incentive systems. These systems don't motivate or reinforce continuous commitment to meeting or exceeding organizational needs. At the same time, intrinsic motivations of employees change over time. Most of us evolve and mature as we enter different work and life seasons. What motivated me at age 25 was not the same as what motivated me at 35 or 45. Our goodwill is often consumed with seemingly continual near-term needs and initiatives that compound overload. This, coupled with strained or non-existent relationships, can leave us feeling like we're being taken advantage of. When this happens, burnout and disengagement take on a new dimension, one that adds the element of frustration. Work-related frustration, coupled with prolonged work overload-related burnout, intensifies the burnout-disengagement cycle. It is essential for both individuals and leaders to understand and address this added dimension of work frustration if they want to reverse and prevent burnout and halt the burnout-disengagement cycle. Professionals are particularly susceptible to work-related frustration because we are achievers by nature. We want to do, build, serve, and have impact. We have committed and invested a lot to be where we are, and when we can't see results, when our progress is slowed or stopped, when we are experiencing a lack of control, and when we are feeling like we're missing out, we get frustrated. If the frustrations we are dealing with today are not understood and effectively addressed, the burnout disengagement cycle can be further fueled by resentment. Work overload issues impact our personal lives. When we miss too much time with our family, time with our friends, and time by ourselves, it is personally frustrating. But when it is incessant and as a direct result of unaddressed work issues, that personal frustration often manifests into resentment. This resentment can be toward leaders who choose not to see work overload and environment issues and myopically focus on the organization and near-term goals, leaders who see overload issues and give them lip service, but ultimately do nothing about them while still expecting results, or leaders who talk specifically about employees being our biggest or most valuable asset, but reinforce outdated systems that perpetuate the problems. This form of doublespeak, saying the right things but incentivizing the status quo, not only breeds resentment, it also undermines trust and confidence in leaders and organizations and helps to validate an employee's disengagement. Perspectives from experience. As a professional engineer, physical exhaustion didn't lead to frustration. I could generally deal with physical exhaustion by actually taking a weekend off from time to time, sleeping in, and having a couple of relaxed afternoons. It was even better if it was a long weekend when we didn't have things to do or places to be. Vacations improved with time. A week's vacation away was not as beneficial as a long weekend at home with little to do. 2 weeks vacation that included some time at home toward the end was better for me than 2 full weeks away. Of course, like many professionals, I was almost 20 years into my career before I ever took an actual 2-week vacation or used all my vacation time in a given year. Mental exhaustion became an issue. I began to recognize it in 2004, a year or so after I had become a vice president, practice group leader, and joined the board of directors. I was 33 and beginning to recognize some of the downsides of being admittedly a workaholic. Like many, I gradually internalized the needs of work as my personal needs. I was constantly thinking of work, and this one-way relationship led to work becoming my identity. Needing to continuously perform and grow the business as a measure of who I was as a person became exhausting. There was little to no separation between me and my work. There was no time for consistent physical activity for either better health or stress relief, but I knew I did need some relief. I can't quite remember the specific motivation to act, but I remember at that time being drawn to a service trip that was being offered through my church to a location in the developing world. Maybe I liked the idea of an escape. Maybe I liked the challenge of something new. Maybe I just knew something was off or missing. Whatever contributed to my attraction, I will forever be grateful for the opportunity. That trip in 05 was what I would later term my time out. That trip also began what I later termed my parallel life. The travel and the work on this 8-day trip were physically tiring, but the wider perspective on life was mentally and emotionally invigorating, at least temporarily. The new experience and the personal growth afforded me months of working without mental exhaustion. However, the pull of the work demands to which I returned eventually took over my mental energy and pushed aside any continued personal and emotional growth. This seesaw of going away each year to serve and being invigorated, followed by the resurfacing of work-related mental exhaustion and postponement of personal and emotional growth, continued for a few years. For much of my early career, my present was a calculated investment in providing for myself, my family, and my future. In contrast to work at that time, serving others gave much more than it took. I experienced the truth that it is better to give than to receive. Serving provided a much-needed broader perspective on life, and it shed new light on the value of others and community. Serving connected me with greater meaning and purpose. Serving also sparked new interests, curiosities, and growth. As my parallel life progressed, not only was I looking for more than temporary relief for work that was otherwise consuming, I wanted to make more of an impact, and I wanted to share that with others. 2009 was a pivotal year for me. Three separate things were intersecting at this time. First, on a personal level, I was continuing to grow in self and social awareness. I had a new and expanded worldview. My family life improved as we participated together in the service work, and I was living up to my personal vow to actually use my vacation time and not miss any more of my kids' high school years other than what was absolutely necessary. At this time, I was continuing to excel at work, and as a leader, I was improving. I knew that this was all in direct proportion to my personal growth and better balance, and that I would not be reverting to my previous state of mind. I also knew that I had exercised the power of my leadership position to re-script the life I wanted to now have. Looking back, a fade also began at this time. It was a fade in my interest in work. The fade grew in proportion to a lack of inspiration and a growing frustration about the future. The fade matured over time to become the pivot. I didn't dislike the work we were doing, but the projects and the victories no longer meant as much to me. I knew the work, I knew how to win, I knew how to be profitable, but I began to question the purpose. Winning at work was clearly more of a milestone for me than the destination to which I had mentally committed to early on. I also began to question the pace and question the expectations to continually overachieve. I began to see the impact the long hours every week, every month, and every year were having on our staff, especially our key staff. I shifted from a project-centric focus to a people and organization-centric interest. I became frustrated at what I perceived as doublespeak related to operational matters affecting our most valuable assets that I saw as short-term and short-sighted. I was becoming convinced that necessary changes to the status quo may be a mirage, and I began to resent the possible presence of a mirage. The third thing that was happening was a drive for impact and a desire for more connection. The resistance to change at work led me to invest more in service to others, and these doors were wide open. In 2009, with my confidence in serving others growing, I was presented with an opportunity to leverage routine work skills in a new context. That summer, our family decided to vacation at a child refuge center at which we had been serving as part of my parallel life. There was chronic flooding that now threatened to undermine the children's feeding center. Erosion from heavy rains had rapidly carved a new and much wider chasm, and that opening in the earth was now within a foot of the building's foundation. Immediately, I brainstormed possible fixes using materials that were readily available on the rural island with the center's director and one of her contacts. With a small notepad and pen, a fix was designed, and it worked. Professionally speaking, this was a pretty minor effort. Personally speaking, however, this was a major breakthrough. With this opportunity, I realized that I had skills that could really help others, that I could help solve problems, and that I could actually have an impact and not just as part of a team. It was empowering, and over the next several years, I helped lead the design of multiple erosion control, roadway, water, and building projects for the refuge center, the development of a university earning program for talented and motivated teens, and later, a social enterprise farm business to help fund the refuge center and university program and to provide local jobs. I was also co-leading a growing number of service teams to the refuge center and local community to build and further develop the projects. Seeing the great need for skills and experiencing the power of sharing these skills in a new context, we routinely engaged other professionals, including engineers, architects, attorneys, doctors, nurses, teachers, graphic designers, builders, accountants, and financial folks on the projects. 2 years later, as we were working through our firm's strategic and succession planning sessions, I knew I was at a fork in the road. I was unwilling to go back to where I was before my 05 timeout. I continued to be frustrated with the status quo. At the same time, I was still drawn to the growth and impact embedded with serving. At this moment, I was asking myself some bigger questions. Could I affect enough change fast enough at work to keep me interested and motivated? Could I leave and do something different? What would I do? How much would that pay? What would my wife say? Were things really that bad? How could I unwind the deeply intertwined position I held? Would I have the courage to break from my past and commit to a future that was more aligned with what I wanted? The alternatives. Organizations can and do function with burned out and disengaged employees. Depending on a variety of factors, organizational leaders could embrace the realities of operating with burned out and disengaged employees as an acceptable cost of doing business. That is clearly a decision for organizational leaders to make. It's not a very wise decision, and if organizational leaders don't take action to address burnout and disengagement, individuals have options too. Staying in the organization. Employees can choose to stay with an organization and deal with the burnout and disengagement. They can remain quiet about their feelings, or they can be more publicly vocal. Either way, employees who are burned out and disengaged, especially those actively disengaged, are likely to create some collateral damage via disengaging other employees, negatively impacting the culture, and lowering the standards of excellence in most organizations. Even if the money is good and staying will help you achieve admirable goals, such as helping your kid through college, paying off your mortgage, or saving enough to get that vacation home you would like to retire to one day, staying in the organization is likely to create collateral damage to you as well. First, there are negative health and relationship consequences to continually operating in the environments of burnout and disengagement. If staying results in us being chronically unhappy, that can lead to relationship strains and even lead to depression. Staying under worsening conditions could also lead to a health incident. Any of these consequences are likely to negatively impact both you and those you are trying to help by staying. Second, staying too long could lead to a more emotionally charged exit when that day arrives. Reaching a point of being totally fed up or not being able to take it anymore is more likely to result in burned bridges that can negatively impact your next position or venture. And finally, you could be let go or fired for lack of productivity. Burnout and disengagement can contribute to presenteeism, or being present but not motivated, focused, or productive at work. Presenteeism is a major cost to employers that has gotten more attention. Recent studies report that, on average, employees operate at 75% of their capacity as a result of coming to work either physically or mentally unwell, costing businesses the equivalent of 3 months per year in lost productivity. It's hard to mask your lack of motivation and whatever else may result from burnout and disengagement for long, especially if you are frustrated and have grown resentful. In this case, the organization makes a decision for you, and that decision will likely more significantly set back your efforts for a smooth transition into your next position or venture. Other options for staying in your organization despite the presence of burnout and disengagement can include developing a side hustle, remaining full-time but cutting back, or switching to part-time. Perspectives from experience. As I was transitioning out of my career in engineering, I tried each of these alternatives before eventually pivoting away. During my initial burnout disengagement cycle, I voiced my opinions in attempt to change the status quo. Later, I grew mostly silent and worked on attaining financial goals that would better position me for a possible next venture. That worked for a few years as I was fully engaged and growing in my side hustle and able to push my personal status quo. My side hustle was not a secondary job or source of income. It was the parallel life I described earlier. At some point, however, I knew a change was inevitable. My time, energy, and future life became worth more to me than the money. I needed more time to plan that change. I still committed to my job and even enjoyed aspects related to strategic planning and business and staff development, but something needed to give. I decided that something would be my second 40, or the routine work hours over 40 each week. No more work on the weekends or at night. That would be the time I would devote to figuring out exactly what my next venture would be. That strategy did not work for long. There were too many expectations from others. When external pressures to devote more time from my second 40 moved from awkward and uncomfortable to unhealthy levels, I made the permanent decision to pivot toward my future. It was then that I negotiated my departure. As part of the agreement, I would work 6 months full-time with reset expectations and then transition to part-time. There were plenty of challenges in those last months. Maybe it was the unique nature of this situation or the general newness of professionals choosing to transition for non-retirement reasons, but some of the awkwardness and discomfort continued. In addition, some of the more strategic initiatives I was interested in pursuing during this transition were not of interest to others, so I decided to have a limited part-time season and accelerate my plans to pivot away. Pivoting away from the organization. Employees who decide that they can no longer tolerate the burnout and disengagement may choose to pivot away. Options for pivoting away from an organization can include conventional retirement, retirement to an encore career, leaving the organization for a competitor, leaving the organization and venturing out on your own, and leaving both the organization and the industry. Short of an organization addressing burnout and disengagement, all of the individual options for addressing burnout result in less focus, less time, or no time in the organization. Individual options obviously focus on the employee and what is best for them. There are huge costs to replacing talent that leaves an organization. As mentioned, replacement costs can be up to or greater than twice the salary of a senior or highly trained employee. These higher costs associated with employee loss and turnover are particularly true in professional services. In addition to the direct replacement costs, there are other costs associated with lost productivity in the organization and the lost future value of their contacts and influence. All of these costs further support the significant return on investment organizations can realize by investing to retain employees by reducing and eliminating burnout and disengagement, especially in top and senior talent. On the other hand, for individuals, there has never been a better time to pivot away from organizations that allow burnout and disengagement to occur and fester. Part-time and post-retirement volunteering is being marketed and filling a major need for people in the second half of their adult lives to connect with others and their communities after a near full focus on a singular industry or engaging primarily in generating a positive bottom line. Encore careers in both the nonprofit and for-profit spaces are in vogue. The freelance or gig economy is strong and growing and is encouraging and supporting side hustles. Entrepreneurship is booming, and the tools to help both the serious and more hobby-minded entrepreneurs are pretty much everywhere these days. This is in addition to the costs and barriers of entry into markets being lower now than they have been ever in history, thanks to democratization of technology, the internet, and social media. This all being said, there is a tragic element in the fact that professionals, in many cases, are being forced to pivot away from organizations or careers because of burnout and disengagement. These are smart, motivated, and talented people who have committed years to master their craft and often wired to achieve, now choosing to do something different or leave practices just to cope with the effects of burnout and disengagement. What does this say about our society, our industries, and our organizations? There's also a tragic element for organizations. Notwithstanding the high costs of having burned out and disengaged employees, the most talented employees are often the most mobile. Your most talented employees are most likely to pivot away. It is also getting harder for less than great organizations to attract top talent to either replace lost talent or grow. Today, the news of the departure of a professional spreads immediately. There are also many websites at which employees can post their reviews of your organization. it is more important than ever that organizations become attractive workplaces and workplace destinations in order to thrive, or in some cases, even to survive. The same holds true for some industries. Burnout and disengagement is growing or rampant in most professional services fields. This is especially true in medical, education, engineering, and financial services. There is a better way. There is an answer. Careers, organizations, and industries need to engage in a refresh. We will need to pause, develop a new approach, and hit a reset button. Key points. It takes commitment and ownership to excel as a professional and business owner today. But neither commitment nor ownership in the pursuit of excelling at our craft alone causes burnout. Excelling at our craft is a key driver and positive motivator for professionals and business owners. Excelling is also expected from our clients, customers, and patients. Burnout and disengagement is real and erodes our motivation, commitment to our craft, and ability to perform. Burnout and disengagement only create loss for individuals, organizations, and even industries. Leadership needs to make addressing burnout and disengagement a real priority, not a competing priority, if it is to be solved. For leaders and organizations that don't credibly and effectively take action to address burnout and disengagement, there is no better time than now for individuals to develop a side hustle or pivot away to a new venture, not to mention being a great demand for their services from competing organizations as part of the talent war.